Well, as all of you probably know, we've been in Luke's gospel now for quite some time, and we've reached a crucial moment in the story that Luke has prepared. Remember, right at the beginning of his gospel, Luke tells us that he's carefully put together an orderly account for the readers of this gospel. He's researched the life and ministry of Jesus Christ through eyewitnesses, has written his gospel in order that all who read his historical account of these events, he says the reason for it was this, in his own words, that those who read would have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. He wants his readers to have certainty. His desire is to give assurance to those who've heard the good news about Jesus, but need it confirmed with true substance. Now, of course, Luke has great care in putting together this story, and he could have included other aspects of Jesus' ministry. As John says in his gospel, in John 21 and verse 25, John says, well, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. But Luke has prepared a very careful, orderly account. And we're today going to move further into chapter 15. Last week, Lamb commenced that story in chapter 15 with the parable of the lost sheep. And this week, we had read to us the story of the lost coin. But before we look at this, we need to see how Luke works to build his story and build his case for the truth about Jesus Christ. It's helpful for us to note the key themes that have preceded chapter 15 in Luke. Now remember, right at the beginning of the gospel, Luke has given us an encounter unlike the others of the extraordinary breaking through of heaven onto this earth. It's Luke who records Zechariah in the temple praying and an angel appearing, like heaven breaking through, and all the people were praying outside. It's Luke who gives us the account of the angel that comes to Mary. It's Luke who gives us the account of the shepherds in the field and the angels coming through. Luke emphasizes that heaven has broken into this world. And of course, he does it in preparation for the sending of John the Baptist and of Jesus. And Luke is quite clear that John was sent to prepare the way for Jesus, calling people, he says, to repent of their sins so that they could be forgiven. So heaven breaks through, a message first goes out to prepare for Jesus, a need of repenting of your sins so that you can prepare for Jesus. Then as Luke moves on, as Jesus' ministry commences, he shows how Jesus exposes Satan operating in this world. Immediately Jesus goes into his ministry led by the Spirit, Satan appears. There is an opposition from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, Luke tells us, has come to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, he makes it clear from that point on, who are the people who respond? Who are the people that Jesus identifies as true citizens, true partakers of this kingdom news? And Luke says this, the kingdom of God, he points out, is for the poor, the weak, the humble, for those who choose the lowest place, for those who tell Jesus where they've come from. Remember the woman in the house of the Pharisee who came to anoint his feet with her perfume, She came to declare to Jesus her sinful life, her where she came from. The Pharisee, on the other hand, never really exposed the reality of his need and where he came from. And the contrast is made by Luke in that story. And then Luke moves on and he says, Jesus challenges his followers, those who hear his message. If they want to be part of the kingdom of God, then they have to take up their cross. They have to count the cost. There is a cost. In fact, he says they have to forsake everything. Everything you have, even your own life, if you want to be part of this kingdom. And it's at this point that now Luke records these three stories in the book, in his gospel in chapter 15. He's made it clear that Jesus did not show any partiality in relation to people. The same truth is presented to the Pharisees, the sinful woman. He eats both with Pharisees at their table. And now as we move into chapter 15, we find him eating with tax collectors and sinners. And we note that the real stumbling block, there's only one real stumbling block to those who respond to his message. It's the condition of their hearts. The condition of their hearts. At the start of this service, I read a beautiful letter written by Robert Murray McShane, that young man who died at 29 and left a treasure of many fine insights into the truth of the good news of Jesus and his kingdom. And it's about the heart, how inside a person responds to the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it very clear, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Those who are brokenhearted, those who are feeling crushed in their spirit, God is ready to break forth into their lives. And as David points out in Psalm 51, the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And finally, we know from the Old Testament, the prophets declared, as Isaiah did in chapter 66, this is the one to whom God will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at God's word, trembles at the words of God. So now we move into that chapter 15, the chapter 15, the story of the lost, the story that highlights the three stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now, of course, as I mentioned just earlier, Jesus is found here right at the start of this chapter in the company of tax collectors and sinners who have been drawn to him. And as the religious leaders observe Jesus, they see his willingness to receive these sinful people. And they begin to grumble. They're very critical of Jesus. In response to this grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes and the wooing crowd of tax collectors and sinners, Jesus tells three stories. And the three stories here are not just for the tax collectors and sinners, and they're not just for the Pharisees. They're for all the people who have gathered around him. Of course, last week we looked at the story of the lost sheep with the heart of the shepherd revealed beautifully as he goes searching for the one that is lost. And when he finds that lost sheep, he rejoices, carrying the sheep on his shoulders and bringing it home. And then we have some lovely pictures from our children with a sheep on their shoulder. I think, Jim, you beautifully illustrated that in your farm, and they picked it up And that's the picture of God finding his lost sheep. Whether it be a tax collector or a prostitute, a publican, a Pharisee or a scribe, Jesus is seeking to awaken in his hearers the stirring of their own heart to acknowledge, yes, I am lost. His constant refrain in all these three stories relates not so much, actually, to the character of God, although that is beautifully revealed in these stories. But the focus, you will note, in all three stories is on the rejoicing in heaven over one particular response of people on earth. Jesus says the rejoicing in heaven takes place over one sinner who repents. So you see, when the shepherd goes out for the sheep, it's not just that the shepherd is going to rescue the sheep that doesn't believe it's lost or is not blurting and crying out for help. No, the sheep itself has to realize its need to be rescued. And when that is there, the shepherd comes and rescues that sheep. We'll see that element brought out even more beautifully next week in the story of the son and his father. Jesus tells his hearers that the rejoicing in heaven is directly connected to the repentance of the sinner rather than the searching of the shepherd. Now let's look at the story he tells this week. And Jesus is going to progress through the shepherd's story and the lost sheep to this story now of a lost coin. He doesn't stop the story of the lost sheep, but moves on to tell the story about a woman who loses one of her 10 coins. Now, what was the big deal here for his hearers about this woman losing just 1 coin of 10? Why would a woman take all the trouble to light a lamp, sweep the whole house and search high and low for it? Well, it's important to understand the cultural and biblical context of Jesus' understanding that the crowd around him will pick up from using this illustration. Finding the lost coin. There's the picture of the lady. She's found the lost coin. But where does that story begin? Let's just run through this story. Here is a woman, and she is wearing something around her head. And she realizes she's lost one of the coins on that headdress. She is absolutely distraught. Where can it be? So she sweeps her house. She gets down on her knees and she searches everywhere to find. Nighttime comes, she lights a lamp. She's searching around for this one coin, looking everywhere in the house. And finally, she finds it, that one coin. And she restores it to its place there with her friends, the place that it accompanies another 9 coins. And she rejoices with her friends. Now, Jesus tells us that this is a significant story. And why is it significant? Well, you see, these 10 silver coins were bound together as a dowry and headdress for a woman to wear on her forehead for her wedding day and thereafter. She would wear this piece of jewelry daily, even while she slept. This dowry then became the bride's personal property. It formed a financial support for her new family, as it could be changed into money in times of need. The silver ornaments on the headdress served as an indicator of the woman's status, showing her wealth and faithfulness. That's why she was so anxious to ensure that every coin was intact and in place. If the bride used any one coin for any financial transaction without the husband's knowledge or approval, it would reflect very badly on her character. Her husband would take this lost coin to be a good reason to divorce her. The coin meant more to her than the value of the precious silver. For her to lose it would be losing face in her community and to become shameful before her husband. Thus, upon losing any one coin, she must make a desperate search to find it again. Her whole life and marriage depended on this coin. She was sweeping the whole house, searching for not just a bit of metal. She was searching for her right to have a home, shelter and respectability, for her right to have a safe and honourable place in society, and for her right to mother her children and to be a wife to her husband. Thus, when she finally found the lost coin, she was overwhelmed with joy. She wanted her friends and neighbours to celebrate and rejoice with her. Jesus is reflecting upon a bride who is unprepared for her husband because she has lost a vital part of her wedding day dowry. Something is missing in the bride's resources to marry this coming husband. Are you picking up the sense at which Jesus is seeking to impart to his audience, to those who are hearing him? It's the person who realizes there's something missing in their life in order for them to be joined to God, to Jesus, the one who comes to be the bridegroom. Of course, in his gospel account, Jesus is presented as the bridegroom, calling to himself his bride. He's trying to awaken in the hearts of his hearers the reality that something is missing in their lives if they are wanting to be united with God at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Sin has corrupted the human heart so that there is something vital missing. Something has been lost. God's Spirit that was given to man in the beginning in the garden, God's holy presence in the human life, has been withdrawn. He, the Spirit of God, is the lost coin in the story, the missing precious clothing that is needed for the bride to be ready for his coming. You'll notice in the 10 virgins story that Jesus shares in the Gospels, he talks about 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom to come. And the ones only that had oil in their lamps, the oil reflecting the ministry and life of the Holy Spirit, who had their lamps burning, they were fit and ready for their bridegroom coming. And notice when Jesus meets a woman in his gospel story, in the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, he meets a woman at the well who'd been married to 5 husbands before. What does Jesus say to this woman? If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the part that is missing in your life that God is wanting to give you, and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Or to the Pharisee Nicodemus in the previous chapter of John, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, these tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees and scribes and us, we're all in the same condition. There is something missing. When we are born naturally into this world, we're born sinners And we need God to cleanse us of our sins, to wash our hearts clean, and to give us the gift Jesus spoke about to the Samaritan woman, the gift of his Spirit, the thing that is missing. As we sang in the children's song today, life without Jesus is like a donut, like a donut. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. That is what Jesus is seeking to bring out in this story of the woman and the lost coin. Life without Jesus, the song goes on to say in another verse, in another version, is like soda without the bubbles. It's flat and full of troubles. Jesus is seeking to awaken in his hearers their sense of need to fill the void in their hearts with the Spirit of God. And he has come to bring this Spirit to men and women, boys and girls, to prepare them for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Notice how Jesus relates the joy of the woman who finds the coin to the repentance of one sinner. What does he say there in Luke 15? He says, just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So just like the woman finding the coin, he says, just like that, it is one sinner repenting, one sinner acknowledging, oh God, I need you in my life. I need your forgiveness and cleansing. I need the gift that Jesus has come to bring. I need you, the coin that is missing, the precious resource. One sinner who acknowledges that they need this gift Jesus has come to bring, that person is the person that Jesus says God will pour into his heart the Holy Spirit. Yes, I am the one who needs what Jesus has come to offer. Have you acknowledged this? Have you declared before God there is something missing? Jesus has come to save us from our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to renew us with his Spirit. And the angels in heaven rejoice over one person who says, yes, it's me. Well, we know, thankfully we know, that our dear sister Caitlin had accepted this gift of God into her heart. She is safe home. We are the ones who suffer her loss, and certainly Thomas, her husband, will feel that acutely, and we must pray for him. But where do we all stand as we face the reality of death, which has come very close to us? Where do we stand as we listen to these words of Jesus? Are we aware of our great need to be filled with his Spirit? And I must say, not only once. You see, being filled with the Spirit, being equipped to meet with our Saviour, to serve him faithfully in this world, we need constantly to be filled with his Spirit. Are we looking only to him to fill us each day, to make us ready for that day when he calls us home? You know, Simon Peter, that vibrant disciple, that fisherman from Galilee, the one whose nets were filled to bursting and who gave them all up for following Jesus, who healed the sick, who cast out demons. Well, Simon Peter had to learn a lesson about the missing coin. When he was approaching Jerusalem with Jesus, at the Last Supper, Jesus tells to Simon, 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 behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, "Oh, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times." Until we realize that we can do nothing in our lives without Christ filling our hearts, we will be like Peter too. And Peter had to come to the point where he truly did deny Jesus three times and the cock crowed. And as Luke records us in chapter 22, he went out and wept bitterly. And at that point, the angels in heaven rejoiced. At that point, the angels knew that Peter was ready to be used of God. He had come to the end of himself. He saw that without Christ, without that missing coin, he was completely useless. And then, of course, when Jesus appears to him after the resurrection and fills Peter with the Holy Spirit and equips him, and we have Peter coming back again and again through the book of Acts, asking for this infilling of the Spirit, we see Peter ready and enabled to witness for his Saviour in the face of all the evils of this world, shining as a torch in a dark place. Well, this story of the lost coin and the woman is about us needing that resource Jesus has come to give us to prepare us for our true marriage celebration. And when you or I acknowledge our need of him, truly for this, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For they know we will be safe home. And today, angels in heaven are rejoicing that one of our number is safe home. Will you come to Jesus today? Will you tell him, "Yes, Lord, it's me. I need what's lacking"? You will find a Saviour who will never fail you, who will never forsake you. He will give you all you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. For his teaching is so clear and so precise. We thank you for the stories he gave and that were recorded in his teaching and we have in the scriptures. Help us, Father, to recognize that it's me, Lord, that we need you to touch our lives, to equip us with everything good, that we might do your will. For we thank you, Jesus, that you went to a cross to make all this possible for each one of us. And we pray in your name. Amen.